In a world where there is so much fighting and bickering, violence and ugliness, it's easy to get down, isn't it? Depressed, cynical, defensive. Our faith can become paralyzed when we feel this way, and we can lose the sense of what's possible. We don't seem touched by all the wonderful miracles and possibilities that are all around us. There's a passage in the Jewish prayer book that says, "Days pass and the years vanish, and we walk sightless among miracles. Lord, fill our eyes with seeing and our minds with knowing. Let there be moments when your presence, like lightning, illumines the darkness in which we walk. Help us to see wherever we gaze that the bush burns unconsumed. And we, clay touched by God, will reach out for holiness and exclaim in wonder, how filled with awe is this place. And we did not know it." It has been said that the first step of spirituality, of connecting with God, is to have a spirit of gratitude. To be able to see all that we have to be thankful for. To have the eyes to see the miracles, the wonders in the world. The person who wrote Psalm 8 captures what I'm talking about. "O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The psalmist is touched by the moon and the stars, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. It's all miracle to him." It gives him a sense of wonder and awe. It makes him feel good about God and good about himself. And so take time this summer to break away, to renew, to experience the wonders of creation and the awesomeness of God. One of the things that helps me have this experience is walking the beach. I love the beach. Few things massage my soul more than feeling the ocean breeze on my face, the sand between my toes, while listening to the waves and smelling the salty air. It's one of those thin places for me where the physical world and the spiritual world seem to come together in a powerful way. The bigness of the ocean reminds me of the awesomeness of God and helps me to put my cares and my fears and my worries all in perspective. Now, the only thing I have to worry about while walking the beach is stepping on a jellyfish or a horseshoe crab. When my children were young, I'd be the scout, watching out for them, trying to spot the slime of the jellyfish or the dark shell of the horseshoe crab. "Watch out," I'd say, "don't step on it, it can hurt you." But one day I was flicking through the channels of the television and stumbled upon a picture of a horseshoe crab. And since I had always feared this mysterious crustacean, I remained on the channel so I could hear what they had to say about it. A middle-aged man was wading in some water and marsh in South Carolina, and he was surrounded by hundreds of horseshoe crabs. Then very nonchalantly, he started picking them up one by one as if he was picking up tissue paper. No hesitation, no fear. After he picked one up, he would put it in the boat that was beside him. They were stacked on top of each other, hundreds of horseshoe crabs. "Most people are scared of horseshoe crabs," he said. "I have to admit, they look kind of scary, but they are harmless." And then the man did something I never thought I'd ever see, except in a horror movie. The top of the horseshoe crab, as you know, is pretty intimidating with that shell. But underneath, the underneath side is even more frightening because, you see, the horseshoe crab is really not a crab. It's a spider. And you can tell that when you see the underside of it, because it looks like a great big tarantula. In fact, a tarantula only has 8 legs. A horseshoe crab has 10 legs. And so the man picks up this great big horseshoe crab spider, holds it high in the air, and then lowers it and puts the thing with its 10 legs right down on his face. I've never seen anything like it. Those legs enveloped him, and they started moving all over his face, and the man starts laughing. And then he starts kissing the crab. "See," he says, "it's harmless." Well, I had to watch more of this. The man said he was collecting horseshoe crabs so they could be sent to a laboratory. At the lab, he says, 30% of their blood is drained. And then the crab is put back into the ocean. Why are they draining the blood of horseshoe crabs? A quart of horseshoe crab blood is valued at $15,000. Why is its blood so valuable? Well, for one thing, it's blue. A horseshoe crab's blood is baby blue. This special blue blood has helped horseshoe crabs survive for 450 million years. You know how long we've been around, we humans? 200,000 years. 450 million years. 200,000 years. 1,000. Million. 450 million years. It's doing something right. A horseshoe crab's blood has a unique clotting agent. When bacteria invades it, cells in the blood identify and congeal around the invading matter, protecting the crab from infection. During World War II, soldiers came to fear treatment of wounds as much as they feared enemy bullets. Unsanitary conditions and equipment made open wounds a breeding ground for bacteria that killed thousands. What happened on battlefields was also happening in our hospitals. In the 1960s, it was discovered that horseshoe crabs can come to our rescue. The pharmaceutical industry started using the crab's baby blue blood to test IV drugs for bacteria. No IV drug reaches Memorial or Candler or St. Joseph's or any hospital in our country without a horseshoe crab test. Every single person in America who has ever had an injection has been protected because we harvest the blood of a hard-shelled sea creature that has a hidden chemical superpower. That's pretty awesome. So from now on, whenever you see a horseshoe crab washed up on a beach, instead of dodging it or running away from it or stepping over it, we all should get down on our knees and give thanks to it. And to give thanks to God. Thanks for the miracles and wonders of life. Another mysterious wonder of God's creation has to do with horseshoe crabs and red knot birds. Red knots take a 10,000 migration journey from South America to the Canadian Arctic every spring. In order to do this, they have to fly 4 days and 4 nights over the ocean. Can you imagine doing that? Flying 4 days and night without stopping, without any place being able to land, without getting any food, flying for 4 days and 4 nights? But this migration is fueled by an ancient synchronicity In one of those strange, freakish miracles of nature, the birds time their journey just at the same time that horseshoe crabs are spawning here in the United States up and down the East Coast. From Tybee to Massachusetts. And so their eggs are buried deep in the sand, but many of the eggs get scattered on top of the sand. Thousands of them. And so after their four-day journey, the birds are depleted of all energy and strength. They are weak and they're scrawny. They have no energy to hunt for food. They would die if it wasn't for the horseshoe crabs and their eggs. They supply dinner for them. And with this food, they're able to gain strength and continue their journey to the Arctic. You see, as we continue seeing and experiencing days of awe and wonder, our faith and our spirit starts to strengthen, become renewed. We connect better with our source, our God. We have a better chance of living the way Christ lived. We can become more like a horseshoe crab, offering ourselves its very blood, its very own body, for the benefit of others. We need another logo for our church beside our clown, our holy fool clown. We also need a horseshoe crab, a crab and a clown. Wouldn't that be cool? The new symbols for Christianity, which are really very, very old. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul reminds people the way they should relate to one another. He encourages them to have compassion. He wants them to show love and solidarity with each other. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Think about that. Paul is saying that humility to the point of self-sacrifice is the way you make life better with your neighbors. Look not to your own interest, he writes, but to the interests of others. Paul says that Christ could have changed the world through whatever dramatic displays of power he wanted to do. But that's not how Christ chose to change the world, to make a difference in the world. He chose the path of humility, of compassion, of service as the way to save the world, no matter what it cost him, even his life. Our culture, our society, and sadly our politics, tries to change the world through force and power. When people do that, the result is pointing nuclear weapons at each other, ready to destroy one another and humanity. And the same is true in our personal relationships. We compete with each other. Our pride and ego get in the way. Walls are built. Relationships destroyed. But along came a man who showed us the only way to help our relationships and the only way to save the world is by offering compassion, being humble, serving one another. He believed it was the best and only way to save the world, so much so that he was willing to die to show us. A crab, a clown, Christ. What an awesome trinity, these three C's. Let us follow their example as we commit to change the world, to change our relationships. through humility, through compassion, and through service. It's the only way. Amen and amen.